You're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Over the last 5 months, Malaysia has seen a dramatic shift in its politics, the unfolding of a public health crisis, and also an economic downturn threatening the livelihoods of millions. Now, has this resulted in a general atmosphere of anxiety that pervades the entire society? And is it driving many of the controversies we've seen in the public realm recently, including the recurring anti-immigrant sentiment? Joining us on the line now to share his thoughts, we have joining us Ahmad Fuad Rahmat, Assistant Professor with the School of Media, Languages and Culture at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Fuad, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Now, do you think that these anxieties, both personal and collective, are driving much of the public discourse in Malaysia today?
Yeah, I think it's definitely tied to the recent events. COVID actually ended up fostering a kind of nationalism that we hadn't seen in a while, where everybody reinforced their common identity as Malaysians and were willing to just work through the lockdown and play their part. And that was surprising even for most Malaysians that they could kind of pull through for 2 to 3 months. So I think there's this collective spirit that managed to make us all survive the pandemic. But that, of course, leads to a lot of other issues that comes with nationalism, like, you know, othering, chauvinism and the like. So, yeah, it's both part of the same coin.
Fuad, do you think that the language we use as critics of those who are, we call anti-immigrant or anti-refugee, we use the word xenophobic and xenophobia to describe the phenomenon. Is that too strong a word? I mean, are we really capturing in that word the true ground sentiments of a lot of Malaysians who feel that something's gone wrong with the situation of migrants in this country?
I think the word xenophobia definitely applies to the more, I guess, extreme strands who hold that opinion, you know. So some of the more conservative groups do hold rather unreasonable opinions about how to handle migrant workers and refugees. But I think for the most part, Malaysians are just not really aware of the issue, and they're taking a very base, knee-jerk position towards it. You know, this is not to excuse them. Of course, that's inexcusable, but it's mild enough for us to kind of engage and try to kind of listen to where they're coming from and, you know, have counter arguments and sort of discuss it through.
Right.
So while I think it's there, it's pervasive, I don't necessarily think that it's hopeless or it's going to snowball to something worse quite yet.
Okay, so you say, Fuad, it's not as pervasive as it seems to be, but sometimes, you know, especially on social media, these types of conversations are amplified. I'm wondering, just, you know, in your opinion, how much of these anxieties or the xenophobia, how much of that is organic versus, say, manufactured?
I think it's a confluence of various factors. I think some people have taken the opportunity to kind of build on those anxieties given the political uncertainties that are going on right now. You know, we have a Malay Muslim majority government and they depend on pandering to certain ethno-nationalist and chauvinist sentiments to legitimize their position, you know. And I think there are echoes and ripples to that, you know. People are unfortunately exposed to that. So I think it's a bit of both. I think there are genuine organic anxieties about just being uncertain about the future and also certain political elements fanning the flames.
I just want to try and wrap my head around this. You know, migrants, documented or otherwise, has in recent memory always been an integral component of Malaysian life, especially part of our economy. I'm wondering, Fuad, when did we go from accepting to xenophobic?
I think a lot of the apprehensions around, you know, sudden turn of events, political uncertainties, economic difficulties, the pandemic, just led to migrant workers becoming, unfortunately, easy scapegoats. You know, we look for, you know, easy diagnosis of the problems, and these are generally communities that most Malaysians will not really encounter, you know, in a genuine sense, beyond sort of like cost-benefit work arrangements and stuff like that. So there's just a lot of ignorance about what migrant workers go through, their voicelessness, their precariousness, their general vulnerabilities. So I think it's just socially a climate wherein people are looking for villains, you know, and unfortunately, given that, you know, COVID has fostered a certain very base nationalism, migrant workers have become those others, you know, the communities that are so singled out as easy villains, as it were.
What about other communities? We've had other cycles of anti-migrant, if you like, you know, feelings. There was this whole issue around Chinese, you know, nationals buying properties in Johor, and there was a whole debate around whether Johor would be swamped with Chinese nationals, and so on and so forth. Do you think any of this might become part of a political program that would turn Malaysia away from globalization, will turn inwards and see Malaysia as needing to raise its, you know, ramparts against, you know, the barbarians from around the world who are here to either exploit us or do something bad to us? I mean, is that a likely route for this politics to go?
Well, the key word in your question there is, you know, whether all of this will amount to a political program, right? No, it won't, because like Melissa said, we're too dependent on migrant labor to kind of allow us the affordable lifestyles that we're living. I know for a lot of people, it's not becoming more affordable because the economy is tough, but it will be worse when the cost of labor goes up. And what, you know, what sustains the cost of labor to at least a reasonable familiar standard is the fact that we do depend on migrant workers. You know, that's just not going to change. We're one of the biggest net importers of labor in the world. So that just can't change overnight. We cannot just stop relying on trade partners as big as China. What these things do is just generate and snowball anxieties. You know, I think people will be more likely to, you know, stick to more cultural and traditionalist kinds of politics as a result. You know, they're not going to go the more liberal route, for example. You know, but this is a statement of the broader transitions that the world is going through, right? So the grand narrative right now is that the West is falling apart and Asia is somehow, rather East Asia, Southeast Asia, is somehow managing to stay afloat, right? Mm. So while that's sort of interesting, it's not really leading to a familiar picture of the world. In fact, we don't really know what the world is going to look like. And I think all of this feeds into a lot of these base sentiments, right? This, you know, me against others, my culture against other cultures, locals versus foreigners. These are easy binaries for very convenient narratives, right, to kind of pander to base emotions. So this is sort of the cycle we're going through right now.
Well observed, Fuad, and well said. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate your time and your insights. We're going to take a quick break, but after this, we'll continue our discussion about the restriction of debate on the issue of migrants, whether by intolerant societies or by repressive governments. So stay tuned to consider this.